So, our first review of the day is going to be for the documentary Freaknik. Freaknik, if people don't know, it was a big, iconic HBCU spring break party in the 80s and 90s in Atlanta, Georgia here. And this documentary is on Hulu right now. It's funny because now that they've done the merger, Disney Plus and Hulu, so you can watch Hulu content on there on Disney Plus. It's funny booting up something like this on Disney Plus. Watching ass shaking on, you know, right on the Disney Plus app. That's kind of funny there, I thought. But yeah, with a lot of this documentary, it's kind of, you know, talking about the origins of Freaknik, talking about, you know, and then you have other figures coming in here talking about the significance of it. You know, rappers like 21 Savage, and you have CeeLo Green that's in here. You have political pundits in here as well, like Mark Lamont Hill also talks about it. Athletes like Jalen Rose, all kind of talking about the significance of this event, what it meant for Black culture, what it meant for Black people, this thing. And they also get into, you know, a lot of the dark side of what happened at Freaknik and how it kind of went out of control and how it turned into for something pure into something more, you know, dastardly and, you know, kind of not what it was intended. So, yeah, I mean, this was kind of a big thing here. Chill. Let me get your thoughts on Freaknik.
Yeah. So, man, basically, I like to start off with, like I said, when I watched it, you know, the party felt like I don't know if you can remember those days, but I remember those days where, like, Facebook could only be, like, colleges, and you had to actually have a college email to get in them shits, right? So if you can remember those days in Facebook, this was like what this was in 88, or what it started out to be. And then it felt like when it got to like 96, 98, that's when it was going over the rails and shit like that. Like, from those periods, it was going over the rails. So I kind of like, I like how they chopped it up, man. I really liked it. You know, but I feel like everybody else, man. Like, the first motherfucker you start off with is motherfucking
21,
like, come on, man. You could at least gave us like Lil Baby or something like that. Like, or if you just want to be that motherfucking outrageous, joking our goddamn face. Well, but tomorrow, it's a reason. No, that motherfucker's not from Atlanta. Okay. I feel like everybody else. If you really want to joke, you could have put like motherfucker Lil Yachty or something like that. Shit. God damn. But other than that, yeah, Freaknik is exactly what it would be. And look, Freaknik is exactly what it would be. I thought it would be if I lived in Atlanta. I feel like if I was born or just lived in Atlanta for that long, I would fucking leave too. Shit for the weekend. I don't want to deal with this shit. That goddamn city was flooded. Motherfuckers was everywhere. You couldn't even get around, bro. It took bro fucking like 10 hours to get home. They covered a lot of stuff, man. They definitely covered a lot of stuff. I felt like the documentation of the whole thing was good. It was a lot of found footage, a lot of collective footage for people that went there. They didn't touch too much on how it was more of a Greek thing, because it really wasn't more of a Greek thing. I did feel like some parts was filler. And to be honest with you, yeah, they talked about like the downfalls, and then it was like, you know, shit didn't really kick off until like 97, I guess, 98 or whatever, with like women actually.
Mid-90s, huh? Yeah, like kind of mid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like that shit was going on before that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, it probably wasn't as crazy. It was probably like some small campus shit, but like, you know, I don't know. I guess they just had to put that in there, but I feel like that was something that was going to happen when you're in a crowded ass city, because it's like, it's just hard for, like, the way they was making it look like, it looked like it was just a fucking horror fest when that shit would go on. And I felt it, man. And like, even they was talking about the good times and shit like that. Like, shit, that still felt like the bad times if you just lived in Atlanta. I like the other aspect of that really touched me was the Outkast portion. And if you listen in the background, a lot of SWV records was getting played. A lot of Atlanta records was getting played. R&B records was getting played. And that's the soul of it, too. And I felt like that was also empowering the ladies. I wish they would have touched on. They really only touched on, like, Outkast. It felt like they tried to touch on a lot of things, but then they didn't go into grasp into some of the stuff. So even, like, the music stuff, they touched on it, but they didn't, like, really go into it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a lot of women records that was going on at that time in the 90s, too, that was empowering these women. Get out here and grab some of them dicks in that motherfucker. That's why motherfuckers in there showing dick, showing ass when they tell, like, yeah, we're going to switch it up this year. We're going to have them do that. And they was in there doing all that because, you know, it was a lot of, it was a lot of that, a lot of, it was a lot of women's R&B back then too. So you also, you know, I feel like they could have, if you're going to use these rappers and stuff like that, you really got to start with what was the R&B and, they did not use not one R. They didn't not talk to one R&B nigga in that motherfucker. Like, they had Rashida, yes, but Rashida is still like a later part of Atlanta, and Rashida ain't even no R&B singer.
Like, who's a R&B singer from Atlanta they could have talked to?
Nigga, they could have put motherfucker Tiny in them. You know what I'm saying? SWV, all that. Like, it's a lot of Atlanta groups. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that was under So-So Def. Like it was a lot of Atlanta groups. Shit, TLC. TLC. What Jeezy say? How the fuck did everything in the A except chilling? Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, TLC is from Atlanta. Okay.
Come on, man. And look at what TLC was talking about back then. I ain't too proud to beg. 6 inches. On the rock harder when it's sagging. No Diddy. I'm sorry, but that's the lyrics. Those are the 90s lyrics. That's what provoked. That's why they have that section when the ladies talk about, hey, let's switch it up this year. Hey, go ahead and show that dick. Show it. And they grabbing them to do what they want. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, it was more than just what they were making it out to be. It was also just the culture of what we lived around and the culture of what everybody kind of lives around is just the music. They could even went into the whole of them booking acts because it kind of became like a festival. They had Luke. They had fucking Pop would come there. Big Puff. Like, they had a lot of big acts that would come there. Where's the backstage portion of the documentary? You know what I'm saying? Where's that portion? You know, so I feel like they stuck around on a lot of the shit that we already know with the flooding of the streets and shit like that, just to like pad it out and then get to the end of, oh, here comes the government stuff, and they tried to lay that on heavy. I think me personally, when I hear that, I think part of that is that it was nowhere in the documentary where they kind of went off and kind of got an understanding of the city and the regulations because it was getting so big. You know, I think they just never really got that in order. And if they did, they probably would have had a better, you know what I'm saying, a better maybe relationship and shit like that with that. I'm not saying maybe it would have lasted long because it lasted for a long fucking time. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers say, oh, it's been taken down, but motherfucker lasted for long. It started in 88 and like ended in the 2000s. Then T-Pain even tried, they brought it back lightly, and then T-Pain even tried to bring it back. So it's like, you know, but overall, I enjoyed the doc. It, like I said, but it was some parts that felt like really, really slowed down for me. But there was a lot of elements in that doc that I really rocked with. But then, like I said, there were some elements in the doc that I think they could have expounded on. And I think there's some people in the doc that I really think they could have expounded on too, in the ways of it being Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's really that hard to get like Tiny and her group and Chili and fucking, you know what I'm saying? And what's in that, you know, Chili and T-Boz. So I don't think it's that fucking hard, but I guess, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, overall, like I said, yeah, I'm just in the middle of it, but it was, it was, it was an experience, but it's nothing different than what you would find, I would say, on YouTube.
Yeah. So this documentary is directed by P. Frank Williams there. That's doing it and looking at some of his other stuff there. I don't think he, you know, mostly like kind of producer I see here. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty short. It's only an hour and 20 minutes that this is, so it's not a very long documentary. It's not broken up into different parts. So yeah, just strict hour and 20 minutes. And if you didn't know anything about Freaknik or you didn't have any, you know, I mean, I vaguely knew about it. So for me, this was a little bit new. It just, and they talk about the origin of it. So they said that, you know, it was done by Spelman students there. They came together. They wanted to do a party because a lot of the people living there, they couldn't go home because they didn't have enough money to go home. So they were like, and they wanted something to do for the summer break. They came up with this concept of Freaknik. The name comes from the song, like Freak Out, like that song. Mm-hmm. And then also Picnic. So they combined those two words together to make Freaknik there. And at first they, you know, they talk about how this was just an event, you know, just for mostly college students, you know what I mean? Just for them to kind of hang around, do stuff, you know, starting in the 80s. Then as the time went on, you know,
and school days really, 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 pushed that culture too. Also, they definitely acknowledge that. Have you ever seen School Days?
I've seen School Days. Yeah. And they bring that up in the movie. They bring up, you know, black cinema was booming at the time, you know, 80s, 90s. So you had, you know, of course, Spike Lee. You had the director, what's his name? I'm blanking on it right now. John Singleton.
Yeah.
You had him, you know, some other black directors there that kind of coming up around that time doing movies like School Days, doing movies like Friday, doing movies like that, that talk about, you know, more, you know, black people in college, black people wanting to go to college, you know, that kind of aspiration there. So you did have that. So that they talked about that in the movie as well. So, yeah, you know, they talked, you know, and they also mentioned the growing popularity of Freaknik there, how it was being mentioned in A Different World. You know, it's like that was kind of surreal there. But then they also mentioned, you know, with all these people, as it gets more and more popular, more and more people, they're coming from all across the country now to come here. You know, the people driving from South Carolina, people driving from, you know, all these different places come, and then traffic is just piled up. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't even, like you said, the guy, he was trying to get home from work. It took hours. It took like 8-10 hours to get home from work because Atlanta traffic is bad. Atlanta traffic, they said, like, yeah, there's that reputation that Atlanta traffic is already bad. But, you know, then it was especially worse. And people from Atlanta just decided, oh, when it's Freaknik, I'm leaving. I'm going, you know, I'm heading out the city because it's like I can't get anything done.
But it was a lot of money coming in, though. They said it was like at least about $20 million a year, even though them kids was coming from out of town. Not all them kids was broke either.
Yeah. So, I mean, you did have that. So that was kind of one of the benefits there of it. So I like, you know, the kind of the first part of it, talking about the celebration here of, you know, kind of black culture there of, you know, the HBCUs. And they mentioned, you know, again, you know, other than the fact that they couldn't really go anywhere to travel to celebrate spring break, you know, they, you know, they talk about Daytona, which is the one that happens there, which is more, you know, kind of white oriented, white kind of led there. That they were like, yeah, I mean, we could go to those things, but it really wasn't our thing. It really wasn't, it didn't feel like our, you know, for us or anything like that. And Daytona Beach, that's like the spring break a lot of people go to there in Florida. They have those. And so they said they wanted kind of more for something for, you know, themselves in creating that. So I thought that was kind of nice. I thought that was good. You know,
I could see a whole bunch of black folks just going to the middle of the map besides going to Florida any goddamn way.
Yeah, you know.
Niggas gonna flock to the middle of the map, goddamn it. If you say, if you say Luke was from Florida, so at that time, when you say Luke gonna be at the Freaknik and all this other shit, Tupac there and shit, man, hell yeah. I'm going down to that motherfucker, man. It went from, like I said, it was like Facebook when it was just fucking colleges, and then now look at it, everybody can go on get a Facebook now.
And then the growing popularity, then they start having concerts. You see Biggie was there, you see, you know, Outkast was performing there, so they started having that. And the vibe, the overall vibes of the place was good. They talked about at the beginning of, like, you know, okay, you know, guys and girls, you know, you're a cute guy, you're a cute girl, you would, you know, get together, hook up, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal. It wouldn't be anything, you know, like you could just do that and have fun there and just party and celebrate there. But then they mentioned the dark side as kind of time went on, you know, where, you know, okay, you had women who were going, like you said, a little bit more sexually free during this period of time, maybe because you had the music, you had a little bit of that. It's like, okay, a little bit more sexually free. So, you know, there were women that had no problem, you know, like I said, show us your, you know, thing or whatever, you know, if you want to see our titties, you know, show us your thing, grabbing it, you know, if you are okay with that. And, but you had people, you had an incident of a woman who's recounting her story. I forgot the name of the woman in this. Do you remember her name?
No, I surely don't, but I remember her story. Yeah.
You know, who she said, you know, she was, I think she was waiting in traffic. And there was just a crowd of guys, and they all surrounded her, and they were just kind of ripping her clothes off. And
yeah, her friend purse got stolen out the car, and so she kind of like they were in the middle of traffic, and she got out. Her friend got out and like went into the crowd, and then somebody just like got in the car while she was in the car and was like fighting with her. And so I guess the crowd just seen her fighting with him, pulled her ass out the shit, ripped her shit.
Yeah. And that led for, you know, trauma for, you know, her life there entirely, of crowds, you know what I mean? A black man specifically there, that she kind of had trauma from that. And that's where you saw things. And then that on top of, you know, the Olympics were coming to Atlanta. They played that, where that was like, okay, we can't have all this going on and we're going to have the Olympics. We got to be pristine here to host the Olympics for the city. And then it was lead to a little bit more of a crackdown on, you know, freaking on people kind of coming into the area, you know, and then people talked about, you know, these stores, it's like people, you know, not spending any too much money there, maybe destroying some property there, urinating in people's yards, you know, like doing all the leaving, you know, stuff everywhere. So you did have that. And they talked about that towards the later part of the documentary. And then they also talk about, you said it wasn't just meant for college kids anymore, because you had 40 plus year old dudes who were going down there on spring break and, you know, partying with these people. It's like, you know, this is not really a space for you to be here, but it just became open to everybody there.
And then the in-towners too, I think they didn't really touch on, I think a lot, they touched on a little bit, but they didn't really touch on that much. But I think a lot of the in-towners too, it was due to that too. You know, you say you go to the wrong side of Atlanta, like you go to the wrong side of Chicago, you know what I'm saying? You're going to go to them hoods and shit like that. So, you know, a lot of that shit was getting, it was, like I said, it was so many people in the streets. Atlanta is like, what I hear, and maybe somebody can prove me wrong, but somebody told me, because I haven't been to Atlanta, but somebody told me, like, Atlanta is like, you'll see a high-rise condo, and then right behind it is a whole ass motherfucking hood, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, even with that happening to that girl, that was a big thing. But I feel like even if they would have, that's why I say they touch on things, but they don't go super into them. But I bet you it was other shit going on too, you know what I'm saying? Because I just feel like with it being that big and shit like that, I'm pretty sure motherfuckers was getting robbed and shit too. So I'm pretty sure it was other incidents. But with that and everything, I don't think that kind of turned the tide. I think it may have been a collection of things, because like I said, they allowed to go on for some years. So, and I think that it was maybe other stuff that maybe got reported that, you know, they didn't document, and, you know, it's a few things they left out. I feel like too, the way that, like you said, it's like an hour and 20 minutes. I think they just wanted to keep it tight and neat. And I think that's kind of like how they wanted to package it for Hulu. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think sometimes when you're doing certain projects and things like that, you maybe want to get into the nitty gritty. But I feel like this is a doc where you can pull certain shit from and make a whole new other doc from it. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like this is kind of like just a nice little starter pack to like, you know what I'm saying? If you like if you're a kid that you just, you lived in Atlanta, you're born in Atlanta now, you know what I'm saying? I keep bringing him up, but he's an Atlanta person. But like Lil Yachty and shit like that, the people that's making Atlanta go round right now and shit like that, and you live in Atlanta and you do want to learn some shit about that, I'm pretty sure you can go in and dig deep on more inner things that happen within a lot of that shit too. So,
yeah, And they talk about the makeup of the city of Atlanta. A lot of people said Atlanta is almost, you know, because it's top down, you know, a lot of the wealth of, you know, some of the wealthiest black people, you know, bring a lot of money to Atlanta. The politicians are heading up the city are black. You know, a lot of the wealth and high, you know, businessmen and a lot of the well-to-do people there are black. So, you know, it was something different than you saw the makeup of other big cities they talk about. Like you see a lot of big cities, a lot of segregation in big cities where you'll see, you know, black people going to the, maybe the downtown area to work and then they come back to more of a south part of town. And then you have that division there of black and white on north and south. You know, Chicago is very much like that. You have that division there. You play Milwaukee's like that. You know, so you have big cities kind of like New York, maybe that's kind of has that little bit of a division there. But Atlanta, it wasn't like that. Atlanta, you did have a lot of that money kind of going around and seeing it wasn't uncommon to see well-to-do black people in areas there. And, you know, it also kind of also touches on a little bit of, because the documentary opens with, the, you know, them doing like a rebirth of Freaknik, like a 2023 version of it, trying to do that and trying to do more of a 90s inspired thing. But then later on in the doc, like, you know, Jalen Rose, he talks about you couldn't do Freaknik today because, you know, everybody got their phones out. Everybody want to post something on social media. In some sense, that's a bad thing. In some sense, that's a good thing, because when you did have that, I mean, if there was situations like that going on where, you know, people were getting grabbed and people getting, you know, clothes ripped off and getting mobbed and everything like that, maybe it does help to record those things because maybe somebody's going to be scared about that and then run off and then, you know, so. So it's kind of a good and bad thing there, but it was just, you know, you did have that freedom there to just kind of go out there, have fun, not worry about, you know, put somebody posting you somewhere, trying to, you know, get likes and clicks and embarrassing you there or something. And they mentioned how everybody had the, you know, some people had the big ass camcorders there, you know what I mean? Walking around with that shit on. They mentioned the clothing that was worn there. Like you had the women with the coochie cutters on.
The cars, like just the cars and what they were driving and shit too, like that was a big thing.
Sleeping in U-Hauls because they couldn't afford hotels.
Yeah. Another thing too is like, I forgot. Go ahead.
Stacey Lloyd, that was her name. That was the woman.
Stacey Lloyd. Oh, no. Oh, I was about to say, and they even ended that way, too. Like, they ended where Kenny Burns is one of the people that they talked to, too. And Kenny Burns was like, yeah, man, we're not going to be able to bring this shit back. It's the name. And I think with the documentary, man, it shows you how stained the name is. Like, you can bring Freaknik back. Just call it a festival, but you just can't call it Freaknik.
Well, I mean, like Mark Lamont Hill said, I mean, we need Freaknik, but not exactly Freaknik, not the name.
The name.
But the essence of Freaknik, the party aspect of it is, I think, probably something.
And that's all they got to do. They just can't do the name. Maybe they can do it, call it the Nick, but just make it a festival. A lot of festivals pop up anyway. All these cities be having these different type of festivals. All they got to do is make a festival up and get some of the nastiest rappers they can get, some of the sexiest rappers they can get, like Sexy Red and shit, have her throw her ass on stage. maybe want to get Summer Walker or something like that, even though she don't really do that much raunchy music, but still a sex symbol, you know, just get a lot of sex symbols, get a lot of motherfuckers that rap nasty, maybe the City Girls or something like that, and if they can build a roster like that, and let's say they can just call it the Nick, they can just call it the Nick and just make it a festival. But it's just like, it's just the name is tarnished. It's like branding, like it's like buying the rights to a name, and then now it's like finding out like the owner was a slave master or some shit. Like that's how the name Freaknik is. Like, so it's just like, yeah, you can just call it something different. And they Atlanta got other festivals and shit that they be throwing, so it ain't all hope lost.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they kind of say about it. Yeah. Mark Lamont Hill. Yeah. Maybe the essence of it can kind of come back in a way people need it. Yeah. So what rating would you give Freaknik?
I would give it a low tune in, because even though, like I said, It is by the book. It's nothing too spectacular with the filmmaking of it. But at the end of the day, it is some things that they left out that you would wish they would put a little bit more information in there. But like I said, they also, it just seems like they packaged this just for a streaming service. They packaged this and sold this the way that they wanted to sell this. They just didn't want to put this out. They wanted to sell this. So,
yeah. I don't know, you know, good to maybe watch, you know, maybe sit your mom and dad down. You know, this is what they used to do back in the day. There, you know, ask them if they would have freaking, probably some moms and dads, you know, hiding this footage right here, you know, that are being shown. So, yeah, that this was a decent watch to see it. Maybe you could have done a little bit more, elaborate on kind of some more things, you know, because I said it is pretty short. It's only an hour and 20, maybe mm-hmm. made an hour and 50, maybe 2 hours, maybe elaborate on some things. Better guess, maybe.
No. I'll be honest, that's one of my gripes. That's what went into my shit. Like, better guess. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could have been better guessed. Like, you really didn't have to have fucking 21 Savage in there. Like, you really could have replaced. Like, I wanted to see some R&B. Like, R&B was a big mainstay. Just don't talk about music and then just talk about Outkast. I feel like that was a bit disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? And then you got Jermaine Dupri, but even when you talk to the Jermaine Dupri, which is one of the Atlanteans there, it's like he don't even have that many stories on Freaknik or whatever. You don't even see too much of him. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It felt like the heart of Atlanta didn't go into to a lot of this documentary storytelling.
Okay, I could see that. Yeah, because I think Jermaine Dupri said he was kind of too young at the time when it was kind of going on, where it kind of reached its peak, and he kind of came in late to it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why I said it should have just had better guests. It was other people that was around at the time that they had great guests, but they didn't have anybody like noticeable from music up in there. Like, okay, you're gonna have, like I said, you're gonna have Rashida in there.
Killer Mike is
a rapper.
Killer Mike, he's in there.
Man, Killer Mike gotta be in there. Come on, man. Nigga owns a barbershop. Everybody be loving Killer Mike and be seeing him as like the Atlanta representative. But Killer Mike then did so much other shit, dude. Like, come on, dude. Come on, man.
They didn't really do a lot with Lil Jon. Lil Jon was here. They didn't really do a lot with Lil Jon.
They didn't do a lot with a lot of the music people in there. It's like, I don't know. They wanted, I guess, like they wanted to put what they wanted to put in there, and they had it. You could tell, like, it felt like it was like sectioned off from a beginning, middle, and the end. But maybe they should have did this as episodes. I think if they would have did this as episodes, this probably would have been a way better, like, healthy watch of what this really was, and really get into like just the nook and crannies of what the fuck this really was and the business of it. I really wanted to see how they handled business. I really wanted to see how they handled all this shit going on in the city of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? With this shit getting big. Because you don't let this shit get damn near 10 years big without, like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to see what the hardships was. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't easy. I want to see what getting the artist was and shit like that. But like I said, yeah, I think this would have been way better as episodes. Maybe 5 episodes. This would have did some damage, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, they probably just going to do like a real mini doc.
Yeah. I also give it kind of a low tune in around that territory for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was 2 tune-ins for Freaknik, the wildest party ever, never told.